Good afternoon, Friday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist as well. There's an old saying among grain traders that low prices cure low prices. Bolt Marketing market analyst Dwayne Bossy says apparently corn prices are getting low enough to spur some volume buying.
We could have China in here as a large buyer of U.S. corn. I can't remember the exact number. I know it was 500-some thousand. So that's very good. So evidently our grain prices are getting to a point where you got volume buyers like China. Mexico was a huge buyer this week in the weekly sales report buying our grains. So hopefully that's a good sign.
The wheat market also bounced overnight on wheat demand news.
Egypt announced that they want to double their wheat reserve. Well, that's big news. So hopefully they're out there buying wheat, especially big news when Russia's on the other side of it limiting their exports. So God forbid, maybe we can get a little bit more wheat business sold to Egypt here.
Private exporters reporting to USDA, China purchasing 567,000 tons of corn this morning in the flash sale. 63,000 tons is for the current marketing year. The rest is set for 2021 delivery.
Over the next month, farmers will be getting into fields for spring field work. Some North Dakota farmers still have corn to harvest. Grand Forks farmer Paul Spruill has about 9 to 12% of his acres left. Harvest progress was going well until the fields melted this past week, and now the snow is keeping farmers from harvesting.
The ground has pretty softened up, so we'll probably be leaving some of those acres until it either freezes, which I don't think it will very hard, maybe have a couple of days, but then get back into it if we can, or we'll have to wait till sometime in May to pick it up and then maybe come back with a shorter season type of crop to plant behind it.
Spruill says area farmers will resume harvest when they can.
If we'd had four more days, we'd have been done with corn. But with the moisture coming out and the frost coming out, and we had those severe foggy days, it makes the difference to what we can do.
South Dakota had the highest number of prevent plant acres in 2019 across the country. This year, farmers are hoping to plant some of those PP acres to either corn or soybeans. This was reflected in this past week's USDA report. Mastering the Grain Markets author Elaine Cubb says there are a lot of wild cards.
The intentions were for even lower wheat plantings in 2019. So nationwide, 44.7 million acres. That's the lowest since 1919, they say. When we look at what the markets are doing now, we've sort of seen a reminder that wheat is a staple grain. It's to have a stable food supply, that your pasta, your bread, that flour onto the grocery store shelves. So wheat has seen a resurgence since the planting report came out, and it's an opportunity for farmers in the Northern Plains to maybe look at that in their planting scenario, even though I realize that would be a decision that needs to be made sooner rather than later. We are still going through some weather that's not really allowing planting to go on right now.
Looking beyond the USDA numbers, Cub also has supply chain concerns related to the current economy and the coronavirus outbreak.
We're seeing, like in Wisconsin, there are dairy farmers that are forced to dump milk just because of the supply chain issue. That's less of a concern for these commodity grains that we can put in a bin, hopefully, and store for a year at a time. We don't have the very tight, just-in-time supply chain concerns, but it's nevertheless something we need to consider or be prepared for when we need to bring in input. We need to feel confident that we are going to be able to get that shipping and the trucking and everything in place when we need it. So that is the one piece of advice I would have, is to make sure that folks are thinking far in advance of what they need to have in place and how that supply chain is going to get it to them.
The availability of distillers' grains may become limited in some areas because of a slowdown of ethanol production related to coronavirus, as well as changes with fuel supply and demand. NDSU Carrington Research Extension Center livestock specialist Carl Hoppe says this could pose a potential challenge for cattle feeders.
We've done a really good job of promoting the use of distillers grains in our cow herds and or our feedlots, and people are doing it. And it's been a really competitively priced protein and energy source. However, when we get to $200 a ton for distillers grains, that's 10 cents a pound. And there is an alternative to that, and field peas are 25 to 27% protein. Distillers grains is 30% protein, but field peas could be an alternative to distillers grains from a protein standpoint. And at 10 cents a pound, that's basically $6 a bushel. And field peas, I'm surprised how many producers I've visited with that have said, well, Do you have any field peas to feed?
Hoppy says other alternative protein sources could also include oilseed meal, commercial supplements, and high-protein forages.
Innovis Agra President Brett Elke says the coronavirus is having more of an emotional impact on farms right now.
The health of their families is a concern, but certainly the economic impact of these price drops is causing a lot of angst and anxiety. We're entering into the time frame where we got to spend a lot of money to get this next year's crop in the ground. And nobody wants to make cash sales at the prices that we're currently at. And when is the right time to make the cash sale and then buy futures back or use options? And how much money do you want to invest in that if, in fact, we haven't seen the bottom yet on some of these commodity prices?
Elke reminds farmers they're not the only ones going through these uncertain times.
Talk to their friends and neighbors via distance, of course. Do everything you can to try to maintain a positive attitude, even though that's very difficult and very challenging. And then I think they need to start looking at ways they can cut costs. I've talked to quite a few growers that have maintained very high fertility levels that they're talking about, you know, maybe not putting any fertilizer or any additional fertilizer down for soybean and go 1 year where we mine a little bit about some of that stored fertility.
The Small Business Administration has released the interim final rule for the Paycheck Protection Program. That's part of the COVID-19 assistance program. The forgivable loans cover payroll, mortgage interest, and utilities. Farmers are eligible for the assistance, but a new analysis from the American Farm Bureau Federation says the true value of the program for farmers may be limited. Check out more at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. National Grain and Feed Association is working to advance priorities for agriculture during the coronavirus pandemic. One of those asks includes securing personal protective equipment for ag laborers after it's been distributed to the healthcare sector. Here's Association President Randy Gordon.
Centers for Disease Control here in the United States is looking at potentially revising its guidance to encourage all people to begin wearing masks of some sort or bandanas or scarves and that sort of thing. Nothing official yet from CDC, but that will put a tightening on the availability of an already scarce PPE resource if that happens. So obviously, to the degree you can stock up and have access to sufficient quantities of dust masks and that sort of things needed for worker protection, be about planning that.
Gordon says the second area of concern is prioritizing the food and ag sector critical employees needed for that need coronavirus testing as those tests become more readily available.
In the latest episode of a USDA podcast, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue gave an update on H-2A labor.
Appreciate the Department of State being very, very flexible in their ability to allow us to continue to process these workers as essential workers coming in to help our economy.
Perdue said work is being done across the federal government to help streamline the process.
Border Patrol, as well as the Department of State, have waived the in-person interviews and have streamlined applications to ensure our farmers have access to labor so their crops can be planted, harvested, and sold at market. The Department of Labor has also been very flexible in identifying over 20,000 workers remaining here that they will allow their visas to be extended and move from one contractor, one farm to another. So that's also helpful.
Spring planting will be here soon. When creating a planting checklist, Corteva AgriScience market development specialist Bridget Riedel reminds farmers to share it with others.
Are we prepared that if we're not in charge of the farm this year, do we have other folks aligned? Do we have all the information written down someplace that they need so that they can figure out where to go get seed or where fertilizers looked, et cetera. So make sure that your suppliers know who your backup is and make sure your backup knows who your suppliers are. So things are changing in the ag community. It's pretty unprecedented right now. So more than anything, we really want to encourage growers to make sure that they have plans in place and are ready to roll into spring as soon as Mother Nature turns it on for us.
Not much field work was done last fall. There could be a rush to apply products this spring. If a farmer wants fertilizer, Riedel says farmers should be talking to suppliers now and be flexible.
We want to plan ahead with that nutrient management plan. Think about what our soil types are, what past yield histories might be, and what we need for nitrogen use. And when we do that, look at using a nitrogen stabilizer like an N-Serve or an Instinct to prevent that nitrogen loss that can happen below ground with leaching or denitrification, and really protects the bottom line and yield for those growers.
North Dakota State University Extension has released two new pulse crop varieties. The varieties are a collaboration among NDSU plant breeders at the main campus in Fargo and at the North Central Research Extension Center. ND Dawn is the first yellow pea variety to be released from the NDSU pulse breeding program, and ND Crown is the first released Kabuli-type chickpea from the NDSU pulse breeding program.
World Weather Incorporated says excessive moisture in the Delta, lower Midwest, and Tennessee River Basin will continue to delay planting. World Weather also says some temporary improvement in field conditions will occur next week, but more rain later this month will continue to cause concern for those planting delays. This week's significant snow and return of bitter cold temperatures in the Northern Plains is causing additional livestock stress and could cause some calf losses. The snow will also add to the flood risk in the Red River Basin. Just a reminder, go online to the Red River Farm Network for news content, podcasts, and the farm calendar. That's at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, this is a story about farmers that have become tied in with the H2A program using workers from other parts of the world. We've got a farmer from up in the Niagara area, Mike Kelly, who has got a couple of workers from South Africa that just barely made it with all the transportation issues from their home country. And it's, I'm sure, very difficult for people who had been counting on people and don't have them because there isn't a lot of labor availability in some of these rural places, and there's a reason they have reached out to those other workforces in the first place. So now that you don't have them at this point of the season, it makes it rather difficult. The options at this point, I think, that they're working on is just seeing whether their people will eventually be loosened up to come. I think, you know, not all the restrictions are permanent, you know, and I think maybe it involves, you know, mostly finding people locally to, you know, maybe fill in the gaps until these other folks become available.
Sounds interesting, Mikkel. Looking forward to reading about it in next week's Ag Week.
Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. May Minneapolis wheat up 8 at 527. May Chicago wheat up 9 at 550 and 3 quarters. May Kansas City wheat up 8 and 3 quarters at 472 and 3 quarters. May corn down 4 and 3 quarters at 328 and 3 quarters. December corn down 1 at 348 and 3 quarters. May beans down 6 and 3 quarters at 852. November beans down 3 and 3 quarters at 859 and a quarter. June live cattle down $2.95 at 8012. August down $1.80. April feeder cattle down $2.20 at 108.47. April lean hogs down $4.30 at 40.40. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day. This is the Red River Farm Network.